Thank you so much for tuning in to today's online message. We pray that you are blessed, encouraged, and challenged by what the pastor has to share through God's word as you listen in. Please be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel to stay up to date with all future messages. Thank you so much.
We're glad to see you today. Good attendance today. And I want to talk to husbands and wives this morning. We are wrapping up our focus on learning to love our families better. So I want to talk about husbands loving your wives and wives respecting your husbands today. As you know, all of 2026, we are committed to learning what Scripture teaches us about how to love other people. We'll look at different groups and individuals we're supposed to love, but what does Scripture tell us about that so that we learn how to love people the way God expects us to, not the way we just feel or the way culture defines love, but what does Scripture say about what love is, what love is not, what does it look like, what does it not look like? So for the past several weeks, we've been looking at some verses, learning about loving our family. And today, we're going to focus on marriage, husbands and wives. So go ahead and open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Our memory verse for the month of February was Ephesians 5:33. Now, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but I want us to practice it, okay? The words are on the screen from the New American Standard Translation that I'm preaching from. And since you've been standing and singing, I'm going to let you remain seated. Let's practice this memory verse together. Are you ready? Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. All right, let's do that one more time. I'm going to let you do it without me. Are you ready on three? One, two, three. So what does that mean? We're going to look at those two phrases. Husbands, love your wives as yourself, and wives, respect your husband. What does that actually mean? Starting with husbands, love your wives, it's the word agapato, which comes from the word agape. And you know, just general church speech, you sometimes hear agape refers to God's kind of love, and it does, but that's a little bit simplistic because the word is used in a lot of different situations, a lot of different relationships. It's the kind of love that loves first. It's the kind of love that is selfless, not selfish. It's the kind of love that is not given just in response to what someone does or because you think they earn it, but it's a love that is given. It is sacrificial. It is selfless. It is loving first. It is unconditional. I mean, think about the way Jesus loves us. If he was waiting for us to be worthy of it, he would never love us. That's the idea behind this kind of love. It's as though you are saying, I am all in. I'm all in. I love you. I'm all in. And it is a love that is formed by, shaped by what God says. So no matter what the culture says about love, this kind of love that God says husbands are to have for their wives is not shaped by the culture, not shaped primarily by your emotions, but by what God says about love. What God says about how you are to love your wife. And it's described in other verses in this chapter, as well as others in the New Testament. And in chapter 5 of Ephesians, look up at verse 25. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's pointing to the way Jesus loved us by dying for us. That's a model for the kind of love a husband is to have for his wife. Jesus loved us before we loved him. Jesus loved us because we needed it. We needed his atonement on the cross. We needed his sacrifice. He was meeting a need we had that we could not meet ourselves. We need atonement. We need forgiveness. We need redemption. We need eternal life. We need resurrection from the dead. And he's dying and then being raised from the dead to meet our needs. Not his needs. Our needs. And that's the idea behind this word. That husbands, you are to love your wife that way. To sacrifice for her needs. He also talks in this passage about Jesus being the head of the church. leading us, leading the church. That husbands, you have a responsibility under God to be the spiritual leader of your family. Let me ask every man in this room right now. Are you the spiritual leader in your home? Doesn't mean your wife cannot be a spiritual giant. I pray she is. But are you? Are you the spiritual leader in your family? That is part of loving your wife and sacrificing yourself on the cross as you follow Christ, so you become the spiritual leader of your family. Look at verse 28. He says, so husbands ought also to love their wives, their own wives, as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Meaning that you are to care for her the way you care for yourself. You have your needs and wants and you care for yourself. You are to love your wife the same way, her needs. Care for her. And when you do that, it blesses her, which means it also blesses you. Look at verse 29. He says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ also does the church. The word translated nourish there is the idea of feeding something or someone, caring for something or someone, so that you are helping them grow, helping them reach maturity. That you as a husband, loving your wife means that you nourish her, you feed her, you care for her so that she blossoms, so that she grows spiritually and in other ways as well. You build her up. You don't tear her down. You nourish her so that she becomes all that she can be. The word translated cherish means what you think it does. It's literally comes from a root word that has the idea of keeping something or keeping someone warm. It's the picture of a young mother holding her baby close to her chest to keep that baby warm so it will feel safe and secure. And husbands, that's the way you are to love your wife. There's this sense of this picture of tenderness in these two words. That your sacrificial love, your spiritual leadership is to nourish her, build her up, and make her feel safe and warm. There's a parallel passage to Ephesians 5 in the book of Colossians chapter 3. In verse 19, he says, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. The NIV translates that, be harsh with them. It's the idea that you don't allow things to accumulate inside yourself, to build up in you so that you come to a place where you feel bitterness, resentment, anger, toward your spouse, that you are mature enough that you deal with things, you talk about things, you forgive things, you grow and change, lead your family in a healthy way, so that on the inside you're not becoming this embittered, spiteful person when you think about or interact with your wife. Love means you don't let that happen to you. Another passage is by the Apostle Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. He says, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Live with your wife in an understanding way, getting to know her and understand her. Now, we joke all the time. Let's be real, right? We all joke. Men don't understand women, and women don't understand men, right? And the truth is, we are never going to fully understand one another. There's just a mystery there. Ladies, I've been married 44 years. I understand my wife very well, much better than I did years ago. But there are still things about that woman I don't understand. And there are things she doesn't understand about me as well. But we do know each other so much better now. And what he's saying here is you are to have a commitment to learning about women and about your wife. There are things women have in common. Now, there are exceptions, but there's a lot of stuff that the average woman, most women have in common. You are to work at learning about that stuff. But there are also things that are unique to your wife. And you are to work at learning those things so that you can love her well. For instance, ask her what makes her feel loved. Ask her what makes her feel unloved, and then learn from that. And do the things that make her feel loved. Learn. Educate yourself. And then when he talks about, as someone who is weaker, some people get their dander up when they read that. But let's just be very honest for a moment. Because our culture is really messed up. What he's talking about here is generally speaking, I know there are exceptions, but generally speaking, men physically are stronger than women. We know that, right? If you don't know that, just let a man hit you. No, don't. Men are stronger. This week, about three different nights, Monisa and I, for about an hour or so on YouTube in the evenings, we're watching the high school boys and girls basketball tournament back in East Kentucky where we're from. Our old high school played in the tournament. And high school basketball in Kentucky, when it comes to the championships, they don't play classes. It's just all high schools, whatever size, playing one statewide tournament, 64 districts, pairs down to 16 regions. Those 16 regional winners go to Rupp Arena and play in front of 20,000 fans for the state championship. That's how it works. It's a lot of fun. And so we were watching the 14th region and watched the boys' games and then the girls' games. My nephew, Brian, who played college basketball, his daughter, Bailey, my great niece, sweet girl, beautiful girl, sings, loves Jesus. She's a sophomore in high school. She's about this tall, and she's not stocky. She plays on the girls' basketball team. They won the 14th region last night, so they'll be playing in Rupp for the state with one of the 16 winners for the state championship. And it's fun watching that. But, you know, we watched the boys' games too, and I got to tell you, when the boys played, it was a war. You better wear a football helmet. Okay? It was physical. I mean, the high school boys there play basketball like college dudes. It's tough. It's physical. And I could just see my sweet, beautiful, precious little Bailey. And one of those boys box her out underneath the basket. She's in trouble. They're going to kill her. And you all know I'm right. All this stuff in our culture about transgender males, boys thinking they're girls, playing in girls' sports is illogical, nonsense, sinful, and wrong. Men and women are different. God made us different. And yeah, I know you can find some exceptions, but we're different. That's what he's talking about. And he's saying, listen, men, God expects you to protect your wife and your family. God expects you to learn about her so that you build her up and don't tear her down, because you can act toward her in such a way that you destroy her. You beat her up. You are to protect her. And then he says, show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace. Listen, the same grace and the same amount of grace God shows you as a man, he shows your wife. And he says, as a husband, you love her by honoring her as an equal heir in the grace of God. Seeing her as a person of great value and worth. And whether or not you honor your wife is evident by how you speak to her and about her. Now, I don't want you to say anything out loud. Let's just have a little fun for a moment, okay? How many of you, raise your hand, okay? No speaking, just raise your hand. How many of you know who Harry Truman was? How many don't have a clue? Harry Truman was president of the United States of America, for those who don't know, from 1945 to 1953. How many of y'all know anything about World War II? Do they still teach history? About 2 months after Hitler was dead and the Nazis and Germany surrendered in World War II, our president, Harry Truman, met with Joseph Stalin, the leader of Russia, Winston Churchill, the leader of England, in Potsdam, Germany, and they were there for a few weeks, actually, discussing and negotiating what would happen to Germany when the war ended. How would it be divided up? What would happen to their military and all of that? And also seeing if they could find a way to cooperate to eventually defeat Japan and bring a final end to World War II. It was tense. It was difficult. During the day, they would meet at a palace in that city. And in the evenings, each would go to a house they and their team was renting. The one that Truman and the Americans stayed at was called the Little White House. When he had been there, and listen, when he had been there 25 days, after one frustrating day of negotiations with the communists, left the palace to get in his car to to be driven to the Little White House. He was in the back seat. An army colonel got in the back seat with him and very quietly said to the president, "Listen, I know you're alone over here. If you need anything, like, you know, I'll be glad to arrange it for you." Truman said, "Hold it. Don't say anything more. I love my wife. My wife is my sweetheart. I don't want to do that kind of stuff. I don't want you to ever say that again to me." They spent the rest of that ride in absolute silence. That is how you honor your wife. When she knows you're doing it, and when she does not know you're doing it. Husbands, love your wives. Now, before I go on, let me ask a question. Ladies, do you think you have to earn his love before he loves you like that? Husbands, do you think she has to earn your love before you love her that way? Our culture says yes. God says no. I understand that love is reciprocal. I understand that over the years, what we do has an impact on the other and what they do. There's reciprocity. We all get that, especially over the long haul, right? But God did not wait for us to earn His love. He loved us, as we said all January, we love Him because He, you got it, first loved us. That's what this is saying. Husbands, when you stood before God and said, "I will marry this woman, I will be her husband." When you stood, ladies, before God and said, "I will marry this man," he will, okay, you with me? When you made that commitment to one another, you husbands, you were making a commitment to love your wife, period. But ladies, second part of verse 33, you were making a commitment to respect your husband the same way. Husbands, love your wives as yourself. Wives, it's a command. Respect your husband. So let me ask that question. Ladies, do you think your husband has to earn it before you show him respect? Husbands, do you feel like your wife thinks you have to earn it before she shows you respect? And again, I know there's reciprocity. But the principle is true for both. You love, you show respect. You love, you show respect. Now, over time, if either doesn't do that, it's going to have an impact. I get that. But we go into marriage, I am going to respect my husband. I am going to love my wife, not do it once they earn it or because they deserve it. I will love you. I will respect you, period. The word translated respect, or in the King James reverence in our English Bibles, is from the Greek word phobeta. We get our word phobia from it. It has a negative and positive side to it. The negative is to be fear, to be afraid, to be terrified, to be filled with dread, even to the point of running away. You're scared to death. The positive side has several shades of meaning to it. And this word is used in the New Testament in a lot of different situations, a lot of different relationships. It's used with God, that there is to be a fear of God. Jesus said, fear the one who can cast you into hell. But it also has this idea of reverence, of veneration we feel toward God. Can also mean to have a sense of just being awestruck and amazed, filled with wonder. It also means to show, to have great, significant respect. That's the way it's used in this passage for how a wife is to treat her husband, with great respect. See, one of the problems in our culture today, that's why we're saying you can't learn to love people the way God wants you to by letting the culture teach you how to love. Because our culture says, you love her when she earns it. You respect him when he earns it. And God says, you love her. You respect him. There's a difference. In our culture, you go into marriage thinking, well, I hope it works, but if it don't, fine. You might not say it quite that bluntly, but that's the culture's attitude. The culture, love is selfish at times. It's what I get out of it. And the culture doesn't talk a lot about what I'm giving. So what does it mean for a wife to respect her husband? Well, let's look at some of these verses. Look at verse 22. Excuse me. He says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Respect his leadership. I said a moment ago, men, God expects you to be the spiritual leader of your family. Wives, respect his leadership. That doesn't mean you're to always be silent, that you are to give blind obedience, that you are to see yourself as inferior, but you are to respect him as the spiritual leader, as the leader of your family. You are to respect his opinions. And because of our culture, I want to say this, you are to respect his manhood. God created men and women in his image, but he created each of them differently in many ways. And our culture tends to celebrate womanhood and denigrate manhood. There's part of our culture that is seeking to feminize men. And men feel it in the deepest bones of their body. That's why men are looking and listening to me real intently right now. Because I'm telling you, the men in your life feel it in this culture. And our culture, our community, our country, our families will be worse off if we don't respect the fact that God created men as men. Now, men, we're to learn. We've talked about that, right? There's to be a tenderness to our love. But wives, respect your husband as a man, because he is the man God gave you in your family. Ladies, show respect and honor to your husband in your head. That means your thoughts and attitudes and prayers. Show honor and respect to your husband in your home. How you talk to him and about him in front of your kids and other family members. Show honor and respect to your husband in your hangouts. With your friends. At work. Show respect and honor to your husband in public and in private. One last verse from the Old Testament, book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 10 through 12, that chapter about the virtuous woman. These three verses say this: an excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. Men, your wife is a gift of great value. Great worth. Treat her as such. Then he adds in verse 11, the heart of her husband. And I love the way it says this. The heart of her husband trusts in her. And he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. The Hebrew word translated trust is the picture of a wife being the kind of person, the kind of place where her husband feels confident, feels comfortable, feels safe to give, to hand. He has to feel this in his heart that he can safely put in her hand, feel in his heart that he can safely and confidently put in her heart his deepest dreams, his deepest fears, his deepest desires. And he knows that if he puts them there in your hands and in your heart, they will be safe. Does your husband feel that way? Will they be safe? Will you honor him when he puts them there? Now let me pull all this together. Some summary statements. Wives, your husband is not just another duty or chore on your list of duties and chores. Husbands, your wife is not there just to meet your needs and desires. Wives, honor your husband as a man, the man God has given to you and to your family. Husbands, treasure your wife as God's precious gift and care for her as such. And to both of you, love each other the way God says, not the way our sinful culture tells us to do it. I'm confident this morning all over this room the Holy Spirit has said something to everyone who would listen to Him. And He knows you better than you know yourself, so He knows exactly what you need to hear. I'm asking you to respond to what He said to you. To make concrete decisions, to do what He is speaking to you as a husband, as a wife. To come to this altar, get on the kneeling bench when we sing this next song and pray to God about yourself. in this Ephesians passage, he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus died on that cross for us because we needed him to. All humanity needed him to. You need him to. He died to make atonement for your sin. He died so your sins could be forgiven. He died so you could be saved. He died so you could have eternal life. He died so heaven could be your home. He died so you could have a relationship with him. And he was raised from the death to give the stamp of victory on everything he wants to do in your life. But you have to let him do it. And there are some of you in this room today, you've never allowed Jesus to forgive you, save you, redeem you. If you died right now, you would go to hell, not heaven. And I'm asking you, giving you an opportunity when we sing this song to say, I want to be saved today. I want to be forgiven today. I want to give my life to Jesus and become his follower, his disciple. Begin my relationship with him today. Pastors are going to stand here as we sing this song. And I'm giving you the opportunity on the sides and the back, the front, the middle, to come to a pastor and say, Pastor, right now, right now, right now, I want to know that I'm right with God. I'm ready to live. I'm ready to die. That Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I want to come to Jesus right now. Some of you need to come to a pastor and say, I want to join this church. Come to a pastor and say, I need to be baptized. Others come and get on our knees and pray for ourselves and for our relationship with our wife, with our husband. You want to pray with someone? We have people who will be happy to pray with you. So let's stand as we sing this song. Pastors coming to the front, and you make your way to this kneeling bench. You make your way to a pastor. You just start walking right now as the instruments play. Even before we sing, come on, right now, just start walking. Come on, young people, come and pray for the kind of husband or wife you will be one day. Pray for God to bring you the right person when the moment comes.